The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon, this is the Friday Report. It's 8 minutes after one. Thank you for joining us today. A change of schedule programme today. We were due to be speaking to the food bank. We were due to be speaking to some people who want to set up a night shelter for homeless people. We're hoping to do that next week instead because we thought we really have to reflect the fire that's taken place overnight. Now, by now, you may well have seen the pictures, the video of some rather shocking and appalling damage to what was Broadley Primary and what is now the Island Learning Centre. Joining me in the studio, a quick hello to Councillor Phil Jordan from the Isle of Wight Council.
Hello, Lucy.
And also joining me, Deputy Local Senior Officer and Group Manager for Prevention, Justin Harden from the Fire Service.
Hello, Lucy.
Thank you very much indeed for joining me. We're going to be talking about this fire in depth. And joining us on the line, broadcasting live from Lake this afternoon, I'm joined by Matt White.
Good afternoon, Lucy. Yes, I'm here at the Berry Hill Childcare, which is part of the current Broadley Primary School in Sandown. And the effects of the fire at the former Broadley Primary School, now the Island Learning Centre, being felt here too. Many members of staff at this school have worked at the former Broadley Primary, and it's been a very, very emotional morning for many staff here. And we've also got Tom Pegler, who's going to be speaking to us. He's the head teacher of the Island Learning Centre. He clearly has had a very emotional morning. The school, as it stands now, has been literally burnt to the ground. Devastating fire here at the former Broadley Primary School. And we'll be speaking to some more people across the show.
Matt White there, broadcasting live from Lake. Thank you very much indeed. Now, if you haven't seen the pictures and the video, it might be worth heading to the website, iwradio.co.uk, just really to get an idea of just how awful a fire this is. I mean, Justin, Phil, there is nothing left of the building, is there?
There's not very much left of the building at all, Lucy, no. The roof's off. There are some walls standing. Everything inside's gone. Huge heat. Distorted metal, quite a severe state of destruction, really.
A fire is never good, but when you're talking about the sort of building that's been affected here, it's the Island Learning Centre. Now, it previously what was two other organisations merged onto this one site. Tell me about those.
Well, there was only recently, in recent months, that we managed to do that and bring the two organisations into the one school. So that's a big disappointment that this happened at this moment in time. And we're going to work from here very hard and very quickly to see what other arrangements we can make.
Okay, so we've been hearing from lots of parents this morning, just giving us their reaction to what was happening. Matt was on scene very early today. Just to give you an idea, if you're just tuning in, this is what some of them experienced overnight.
It was just a complete inferno. You could feel the heat, and I'm sort of feet away from it. I'm obviously at my mum's address, who's 90 years old. It panicked her quite a bit. So I came here and stayed here all evening just in case the wind changed and the smoke came her direction, and in case I had to evacuate her out. It's been a horrendous night, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
I've been up most of the night actually helping with the pumps last night because I couldn't attach it to the water mains. So I just chucked on anything I could and I come out and helped. I just can't believe it happened so fast. Literally the whole building went down within seconds. It was just amazing, really, but it's just so sad because the school, they had a party there today, and it's just upsetting to see, to be honest.
So those were some of the people who were watching the proceedings this morning. Justin, can I bring you in here? Are you still on scene at the moment? Just tell me what the latest is from the site.
Yeah, definitely fire service is still on scene, both damping down any hotspots within what's left of the building itself, and also supporting the fire investigation. As you know, there's a joint one going on at the moment with the police.
Okay, now if you'd like to text us today, I should say, or let us know really your thoughts about what's going on, your reaction to what's going on. Maybe you're a parent and you've been devastated by this, and absolutely understandably. Maybe indeed you're a local resident and you saw some of what went on last night. This was no small blaze, was it? Some of the pictures show just how extensive this is. It must have been very frightening for residents.
Yeah, it was a significant blaze, and I think at the height, as you've mentioned previously, there were 45 firefighters on scene, some 7 pumping appliances, and they were not only fighting the fire, they were also protecting any surrounding property and risks. They weren't helped by the windy conditions that were coming off the fields to the back of the property, and that was making operations increasingly difficult, and crews worked tirelessly to actually, you know, support the operations, not only, as I mentioned, firefighting, but also surrounding risks. There were properties close by.
We had a text earlier from June in Lake. When I went to bed last night at 10:45, I could smell smoke. I thought it was a bonfire. I'm in shock this morning. Such a shame, she says. And from Lucy, devastating news, but I would like to congratulate and thank the fire services for all their hard work in their efforts overnight and ongoing today. If you want to get in touch, then please do. You can find us on the phones, 822-002, but I should say we're not going to speculate about causes. So if there is any of that, we'll have to cut you straight off. We'll have to move on very swiftly. So it's really for your reaction really today and your thoughts on having seen the pictures and the video and having maybe turned up at the school today to find what you've found. You can also, as well as the phones, 822-002, find us on the text, IW a space in your message, send it into 81222, and you can tweet. We are at iWhite Radio, hashtag Friday Report, and we'll share some of your thoughts today. Earlier on, I spoke to a mum. Her son has autism and attends the school. And Phil, to bring you in here, very difficult situation for children with those sorts of challenges, because it is all about routine, it's all about schedule, and something like this really just it's impossible for them to get their heads around.
It really is, and we're so mindful of that. There is no saviour in any of this at all. If there were, it would be that this was the last day of term, which in itself has brought other problems, as there were festivities planned for today. But it does give us some time. It does give us some time over the summer to try and make some serious plans for relocation somewhere in some of our other buildings that we have, some assets. So we have to find that. So we've got to work fast. We've got to work hard. We've got to look forward. And we've got to provide somewhere for these children that we're at the Island Learning Centre. Yeah.
All right, now let's cross, if we can, live to Matt White. He is broadcasting not from the site, but a site adjacent to that. And Matt's live on the line now. Matt, just tell me, what's the latest there? What can you see? Just describe what you can see for me.
Yes, well, I'm here at the Berry Hill Childcare, which is part of the current Broadley Primary School, which backs onto the former Broadley Primary School, now known as the Island Learning Centre. And from here, you can see the entire site has been completely devastated by fire. Currently, firemen are still here. There's the aerial ladders up. They're pumping water onto the top of the building. There is debris everywhere, and it's just the devastating effects of what was a very, very major fire. 45 police officers at one point were tackling the blaze. There were 6 pumps, 2 water carriers, and the aerial ladder. So it took an awful lot of resource to devote to this fire. And I've been here earlier this morning speaking to some of the residents that witnessed what was happening. And also I spoke to Tom Pegler, who is the head teacher of the Island Learning Centre. He's here now joining me live. Tom, this morning when we spoke to you, it was clearly a very difficult time. You've had a few hours to reflect on everything, what's happened. Just tell us how you're feeling.
Well, first of all, we're just very pleased that everybody was safe. Although this is a devastating fire, there are no injuries or concerns, and we're very glad that the firefighters did a marvellous job to put it out as quickly as they did, although they're still on site now. But with no injuries, we're very pleased. It's been a really emotional time for pupils, staff and parents. It's been very, very difficult few hours, actually, for us since I got a call about sort of 1:30, 2:00 this morning. So it's been very difficult. Priority remains for the well-being of the pupils, parents and staff. Although we're heading into the summer holidays, clearly there's a lot of emotion, and we're working straight away and now to currently make sure we support everybody who needs it.
Just tell us a little bit about the school. Obviously, it's very well known as the former Broadley Primary School, but let's talk a little bit about the Island Learning Centre and what you do as a school.
OK, roughly we have a roll of about 70 students, most of whom are dual-rolled with local primary and secondary schools. And they're for students who've been referred to us from mainstream provisions for a wide range of reasons, a whole whole gambit of reasons, really. Again, roughly 70 students. This provision is absolutely vital for their well-being, and I mentioned one of the students, or parents of the students, have phoned in with autism. The planning within that, within the centre, is really, really important. So we have a huge job of work to do in the next 6 weeks.
Clearly now it is the school holidays, does allow a little bit of time, but what is the likelihood for you to continue as a school, sort of starting back in September?
We're working on that right now. The local authority have been fantastic. We were meeting at 6 o'clock this morning with half a dozen of the local authority members, planning exactly what we need to do in a very short space of time. After meeting with you here, I'm rushing off to County Hall for a meeting at 2:30, and then a whole day devoted on Tuesday to try and work out exactly what we can. We have some ideas about what we can do. Putting in the practice is going to be very tough, it's going to be very challenging, but it's absolutely vital for the students. I would like to say a great big thank you to the fire service and police service who were brilliant this morning, and equally the local community the community spirit in Berryhill really shone through this morning, so I'd like to thank them as well, please.
Tom Pegler, thank you very much indeed for joining us this lunchtime. And cheers. Tom's words there echoed by many, many members of staff that work at the current Broadleigh Primary School. We've got a number here that are going to be speaking to us over the course of the next half an hour. But clearly lots of emotion, lots of sadness at what's happened to the former Broadleigh Primary School.
All right, Matt White, thank you very much, broadcasting live in Lake there, and we'll rejoin him in about 5 or 10 minutes' time. Joining me in the studio, meanwhile, Councillor Phil Jordan, who's the Executive Member for Fire Prevention and the PFI, and Justin Harden, who's Deputy Local Senior Officer and Group Manager for Prevention at the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service. Gentlemen, I mean, where do we go from here? Obviously, it's the start of the summer holidays. Parents told not to go in today if they attended the Island Learning Centre, so they've had to stay at home unexpectedly. In the initial sense, Phil, we understand there was a big fun day planned, which was sort of an integral part of saying goodbye to the term and, you know, bouncy castles and water slides and all kinds of things. What's happening with that event? Do you know?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, so I think there was talk maybe that it was being rescheduled, but maybe that's ongoing.
Yeah, that looks like that might be a possibility, and the meeting this afternoon at 2:30, and again on Tuesday we could talk about some of those eventualities. But at this moment in time, that's not known.
Okay, I mean, it is a very developing story. Justin, the fire brigade's still on scene there. Talk to me a little bit about that operation. How big an operation was it for you?
Well, the initial call was to something which seemed quite insignificant at the time, and it soon escalated, and we had multiple calls from surrounding residents. So when we arrived on scene, it was starting to involve the building and become quite well developed. The roof was compromised quite early on in the operation, and the number of resources, the number of personnel that we had to have on the scene were quite considerable. As you can imagine, the firefighting operations and trying to surround and mitigate the risks of other fire spread to other properties meant that we had to use an awful lot of water. And as one of the ladies, one of the residents, indicated earlier, we were using multiple hydrants around the area, and there was hose absolutely everywhere. And to that effect, we had to bring in two of our own water carriers from the island to support operations. It was very difficult in terms of the time of night, obviously the wind, as I've previously mentioned, and also the radiated heat, which was quite considerable. And I think as well earlier, one of the residents made mention of that. But just in terms of the complexity, once the building was compromised, it was about trying to save anything that was surrounding it. And fortunately, the mobile units around are intact, and in fact, it didn't spread to any surrounding property, which is one positive that can be taken out of it. Devastated for everyone involved with the centre, but we will probably be on scene for the rest of the day, if not longer. That will be determined by the fire investigators and the police.
Now, as I say, Matt White was on there on the scene quite early today, and he spoke to Dean Hayward. Dean Hayward's one of the firefighters that was leading the firefighting exercise last night.
Yes, Dean was the senior officer responsible last night on scene, and he was actually deploying resources and dealing with the tactics to fight the fire.
All right, well, Matt spoke to him. Let's hear from him, and this is what he had to say earlier today.
Dean Haywood, station manager.
Long night, Dean. This morning we've obviously woken up to a horrendous fire here at the former Broadley Primary School. Just tell us, this was a big operation for you guys overnight.
Yeah, so we had a significant fire, obviously involving a large percentage of the building. We had seven pumping appliances and several special appliances here, 45 officers dealing with the incident at its height.
Still here, obviously still damping down. What happens next?
Yeah, so we'll continue to damp down until, you know, that we're satisfied that we're not going to get any re-ignitions. And we're waiting now for a joint fire investigation to take place at 9 o'clock.
And that investigation is ongoing now. That was Dean speaking earlier today. Before we cross back to Matt, who's live in Lake there, I just want to ask you, I mean, with that kind of size of operation, you only have limited firefighters on the Isle of Wight. What happens in terms of the strategic planning? When you've got 45 people there fighting that fire, what do you have to do to consider the rest of the island?
Yeah, as you rightly say, Lucy, there are considerations outside of just dealing with that particular incident. And last night we stood up our command room at headquarters in Newport to look at the logistics, not only for supporting the rest of the island in the event of another call coming in, but also for reliefs for the crews that are out on scene dealing with what was quite a significant blaze. But through the strategic partnership that we now have with Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service, we have the ability to call on additional resources from Hampshire and bring them to the island to support any operations that we might have in place.
We'd very much like to hear from you today. There are lots of ways you can get in touch. Do text us with your thoughts on IW, a space in your message. Send them in to 81222. Alternatively, you could give us a call. 822002 is the number, although we're not going to be talking about speculation into what might have caused the blaze and how it happened. And alternatively, on Twitter as well, we are at iWhite Radio. Let's cross, if we can, back to Matt White. He is broadcasting live from Lake. Matt, good afternoon.
That's fine. Hi, Lucy. Yes, I'm here at Berry Hill Childcare, which is part of the current Broadley Primary School. And joining me now is the head teacher of the current school, Maxine Leppard. And Maxine, it's been a very, very emotional morning, both for members of staff at what's now the Island Learning Centre, but members of staff that used to work on that school site that have since moved here, including yourself. You were the head when the school moved from that site to here. Just sum up how you're feeling.
A bit like everybody else, really, quite shocked about the whole event. We've got a lot of staff here that worked there for many, many years, and we have an emotional bond with the building. I know that seems really bizarre, but actually there's so much has happened in that building, so many lovely memories, and to see that go up in smoke has had an impact in the school and also with the parents and the children. So we're all very shocked about it.
And when the school moved to what was Lake Middle, which is now Broadley Primary, there was some concern at the time. It was a big deal, the reorganisation, and there was worries about what would happen with Broadley and that site. Obviously, it's now the Island Learning Centre, but I guess you never, ever would have imagined such a tragic way for that building to end up.
No, I mean, the residents and people that knew the building were very keen to find out what was going to happen to it because they wanted it to remain there. They also had a bond with it. So I expect a lot of people in the area are very shocked and very saddened by what's happened today.
And I was on site earlier this morning. I noticed some of members of the staff of the school were walking down to the bottom of the field, looking over just in sheer shock at what happened. The landscape has been completely changed by what's happened, hasn't it?
Yes, when you look at the site, it just seems so surreal. It feels like a dream, really. You look at it and you can see pieces that you remember and that have memories for you, but it's just changed dramatically and it's just heartbreaking, really.
And this was your last day as head teacher at the school. Not one you imagined talking about a terrible fire at your neighbouring site.
No, it's added to the sadness of the day. But I'm glad, as Tom said, that nobody was hurt. And we've got to bear in mind that's the major important thing, really, that everybody was safe, nobody was hurt, buildings can be replaced, and memories stay within us, not just in buildings.
Maxine Leppard, head teacher at Broadley Primary School, many thanks for joining us this lunchtime. Lucy.
White there, Matt White there, broadcasting live in Lake. Thank you very much indeed. And as I say, do let us know your thoughts today if you're listening to this, and maybe you had children there, maybe you were among those who saw that fire break out last night, maybe you're among those who called the fire brigade. And we heard from Justin there that there were many calls in from very worried local residents, and you only need to see the pictures on the website and on our Facebook site and so on to realise exactly why. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Councillor Phil Jordan, who's the Executive Member for Fire Prevention and PFI, and Justin Harden from the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service, and we'll catch up with the very latest from the site as well with Matt White.
This is the Friday Report. The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Friday Report. Today we are concentrating all our efforts on the devastating fire overnight at what was Broadley Primary School and is now the Island Learning Centre. And joining me in the studio, Councillor Phil Jordan, who's Executive Member for Isle of Wight Council for Fire Prevention and PFI, and Justin Harden, the Deputy Local Senior Officer and Group Manager Prevention for Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service. You can get in touch today on the text, IW a space in your message, send it into 81222. Give us a call here in the studio, 822002, and you can tweet us as well. We are at iWhite Radio, hashtag Friday Report. Meanwhile, Matt White is over there live in Lake today, and we will rejoin him very shortly. First off, a couple of your comments that have been coming in, commenting earlier on some of the photos that are up on our Facebook site. Jenny Allen, a sad day for the loss of a school, but as a nearby resident was also quite scary. I'd like to say what a brilliant job the emergency services and fire crews did last night. The residents of Berry Hill and surrounding houses are very grateful today that the fire was contained. Justin, I've been hearing today from one of the ladies I've spoken to who was out making tea and so on for the officers last night. Did you get a real sense of community, the officers that were on scene there?
Very much so, and it's always really pleasing in such eventualities that residents come together and they support fire crews, and you know they help look after welfare for us, and yeah, it's a great community spirit, I have to say.
Let's talk a little bit about how it compares with other major fires on the island. And the big one for me, because I went to this particular one, and I know you were at this particular one, was the Rye Castle fire. But there have been other major fires as well. How does this compare to some of the ones that we've seen? They're very rare, thankfully. But how does it compare to some of those that are maybe so notable?
Well, I think first and foremost, you're quite right. They are few and far between, which is really pleasing. And it's about how we learn from those fires and how we put anything that we can get from it into practice, or put it into practice, should I say, to try and mitigate the impact of another one occurring. But ultimately, fire is always devastating, and certainly when it's on this scale, and it's at the type of site that this is, and the complete devastation of the main building at the centre, you know, it's significant. It's significant for everyone involved.
You mentioned there that there were some mobile classrooms and things that have escaped. Was there any concern that maybe houses nearby would be affected by this? What was the smoke like? What was it like for residents living close?
Yeah, as I kind of alluded to earlier, part of the operations wasn't only to fight the fire, it was also to protect other buildings. For those that know the site, there are tree lines directly around it, and then there's other properties and buildings adjacent too. And obviously there were concerns about the radiated heat, which was very significant with the intensity of the fire, and also with the smoke that was being generated, and obviously the wind was whipping that up.
Well, as we've mentioned, fire crews remain on scene this lunchtime. Also on scene on an adjacent site is Matt White. He's broadcasting live from Lake today. Let's see if we can head over and join Matt and just get a sense of what things are like in Lake today.
Yes, thanks, Lucy. Well, everyone's still in a state of shock here. We've just had a helicopter above us looking like it was taking photographs from above of the aftermath of the fire. And when you look down at the school and see what was a relatively new building, it was built in 1992. It was when Broadley Primary School then moved to this site in Berry Hill. And just looking at it now and seeing the devastation that's been caused by this fire, and like you say, the pictures we've got on our website just show the sheer scale of it. And many, many people with memories of the school that have worked at the school and those people that use the school are still reflecting on what's happened, including Bev Eustace, who joins me now. She works at the current Broadley Primary School and used to work at the former. And Bev, when I met you this lunchtime when we arrived at the school, you could clearly see it had been a very difficult morning for you. Just talk about Broadley and that site and what it means to people.
I think that site has always been a special place. And especially with Mark Lee, who was the former head teacher there, who's sadly now not with us anymore. And just so many staff just have got memories of different children, different staff that work there. And, I mean, just talking at lunchtime, there were just memories of Christmases and parties and things that have happened there. And so it was a big part of a lot of people's lives.
And this morning, when I was at the site, very early on, there were people's passing the school, coming into this school, and it was the young children that you could also see the in their faces how distraught they were. And there was some children in tears at what had happened. The school clearly meant an awful lot to pupils that have been there too.
Absolutely. I mean, the from year three up on the current site here now, and those children would have started at the old site, and they can't believe it. They've just looked at it, and you know, it's just like, where's it gone? Because it has been such still a part of this site, and when we look over, it's still known as the old Broadley, and the ethos that, you know, it was there, we've carried on. But it's upset so many people. There's so many staff here who started their careers there, like myself, and who just it's a piece of our history, our lives has gone. We've got those memories, but it would never quite be the same.
No, very, very sad day here, being felt across the community and as well. The residents that I spoke to this morning, many of whom watched the fire overnight, but they just were in just sheer disbelief at what happened. It's been a very traumatic few hours here in Lake.
Matt White broadcasting live from an adjacent site there in Lake. Back in the studio then, Justin, hearing from Matt there, a real emotional impact. How do you deal as firefighters with that sense of people sort of, obviously people are going to come out and have a look, and obviously, you know, the massive social media that's around now as well, there are lots more photos, it's very immediate. Does it make your job slightly more challenging? Is there concern when you see people turning out to see it?
Well, we certainly have to work together with everybody on site, residents, public, everybody included. But it's really important to ensure that we put in place cordons at a very early point, both to kind of limit the impact on our personnel trying to deal with the incident, and also to try and lessen the impact on anybody that might come in, you know, the safety element of it.
And Phil, just to bring you back in here, I mean, in terms of your executive Isle of Wight Council membership here, you look after fire and fire prevention. Yeah. I mean, when you go into that job, you presumably, you know, there's a possibility that we could be having this conversation, but presumably you don't really think it's going to happen. How does it feel when you come into work and you find that this is what you're being greeted with?
Yeah, well we're devastated also, because we get phone calls, we wake up to this news, we feel and we hear the passion and the loss of pupils and residents and parents of children at school, and we understand that, we understand it, we have an empathy with that. But you know, we have to, our job now is to try and move forward, and in the coming days and weeks to make arrangements for accommodation for starting September. But can I just say, Lucy, because it's really important, and I know Justin wouldn't say this, but I'm very proud of our fire service. So I think that this is another example of the demonstration of their commitment and their professionalism, and it's been manifested to overnight in the way that they undertook the job at hand. People turned up, 45 firefighters, without any regard for what they were going into, fought the blaze, contained the blaze, did it with experience and, as I said, professionalism. And I'm proud, our administration, and I hope all the residents on the island are proud that we have an Isle of Wight fire service. So well done to them.
Yes, and I think that sentiment being echoed, actually, from a lot of people speaking to us today as well. Let us, if we may, hear from Councillor Alan Hollands. He's the member for Lake North Ward. He spoke to Matt White earlier today at the scene, and this was much earlier on this morning, but Matt had a chat with him and just got his reaction to what had happened.
Alan, I mean, we've woken up this morning to devastating news. What was former Broadleigh Primary School, now the Island Learning Centre, it's completely been ravished by fire. Your reaction?
It's just a very shock. And to look at the school now, to see what it was yesterday, it's so sad. It's a loss for the island, a loss for the pupils that attend the school. It's a community loss. And I'm just... say, as far as I can say, look at the school from here, it's completely devastated, and just a huge loss to the public.
And you've been speaking to some people that have been just stood outside the school gates this morning, just in shock and disbelief, really, of what's happened. And yeah, there's lots of people really upset by this, because great memories and great history here.
Yes, some of the younger children who went to school here have walked past going to the new Berry Hill School, and... they were quite sad to see lots of their old school, and there's a lot of there's some teachers and senior staff members here as well. Just a shock of the loss of what they've lost. They've got there'll be some huge amount of work to be done during the summer to find the placements for the children that will have to continue their education next year.
Absolutely, Councillor Alan Hollands, thank you very much indeed.
Okay, so that was Matt White speaking to Councillor Alan Hollands on the site. He's the Lake North Ward member. Phil, let's talk, if we may, where you go from here. It's all about meetings for you. Do you have such a thing as a plan in place for when a school burns down like this? Where do you even start?
Yeah, well, we don't have a plan because this is unforeseen. We have plans for emergencies, and they kick in events like this. But the plan for the school, no. But we've already started. I've spoken with the leader this morning on site. We both visited the school, and we've already identified some possibilities in existing stock that the council own for at least a temporary placement for the school. Temporary could mean a year or 2 years perhaps, but and then we'll see when the site's finally available to us after the fire service and the crime scene's finished. We'll see what the site offers us and whether there is the opportunity to rebuild there. There may well be. But in the meantime, we've already identified some buildings, and we're in this afternoon and Tuesday and days after that, moving very as fast as we can, identify somewhere and get it prepared and ready and stocked. I mean, there are all kinds of things, as you can imagine. Desks, chairs, all this kind of stuff.
I mean, that would be my next question to you, really. What sort of things are you now going to have to replace? Have you lost, I mean, presumably there's children's work and there's, you know, paperwork and lots of stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think of.
And that's exactly, and that's some of the hidden stuff that unfortunately is lost. It's gone and lost. But we can replace the building. We can replace the desks. We can replace the chairs. We can replace the IT, the equipment. We can replace all of those things in time. But we can't replace some of those losses, that work and those personal things. And data and information is probably gone in the computers as well. Yeah.
One of the lovely ladies I spoke to earlier said, what can I do? I want to help here. What can I do to help? Can people listening to this, people in the area, people who saw that fire, parents, can they do anything to help out and to move on from this?
Yeah, look, I really understand that. It's just great to have people in the community come forward like that. That's some spirit. And at this moment in time, I would say, not until our emergency services have moved away and we've started discussions and meetings on what we're going to do. There'll be room and area for people to help and assist us, and we hope they will. We sincerely hope the community will come up and step up and help us get this school going again.
Are you able to put some numbers on this, by the way? How many young people there were at the school? How many teachers? How many people displaced?
Yeah, my understanding is there's about 70 children at the school. So, but we can find places for that. But in one place, we hope, as well.
Justin, some advice then for people who are listening today. Is there anything online that they can turn to? Where can people find out more? Find out, you know, in terms of... I don't know how they move forward, but also how to make sure this doesn't happen to them.
Yeah, thank you, Lucy. I think, you know, first point really is that we work proactively with business and with communities on fire safety awareness at all times throughout the year. But if anybody is concerned and wants more information, please visit our website, www.iwfire.com. And also, you can go through Isle of Wight Council's homepage onto Fire and Rescue Service. The information is there. Sorry, Lucy. The information is there for businesses and also for people in private property.
Yes, because I imagine that's a different message. If you're running a business, if you've got a big building like a school versus your home, what sort of advice can you give us now to, goodness only knows that we hope this isn't repeated. But what sort of safety advice can you give us?
Well, obviously, it's about good housekeeping. It's about ensuring that everything within the property is considered in terms of open to heat sources and that fire spread is considered. And obviously, in the event of fire, that there is an escape plan. There's actually a route that you've already pre-considered to get out of the property. But as I say, all of the information is there, but having working smoke alarms, whether it be in a commercial setting, industrial setting, or within a residential setting, is absolutely key to raising the alarm early and obviously then being able to call the fire service and get us out.
We're going to cross back to Matt White very shortly. He's over in Lake at the moment, I think heading towards the site of the fire itself. He's been broadcasting live. Thank you very much, by the way, to Broadley and the early years education people who've been helping us out today. Much appreciated. Matt White's moving location, so we'll go back to him in a couple of seconds' time. But just final thoughts, Phil Jordan. It's a devastating fire, but I don't want to leave everyone on a downer because, it is about moving forward now. So what's your message to parents, to staff? Where do you go from here?
Well, Lucy, absolutely right, because now it's our job. It's our job to make sure that we provide the correct environment for the children that have lost this school, and we're going to do that. And the authority and this administration will not fail those children. I can assure you of that. And that's a positive message that now over the summer we'll work as hard as we can to get a school building in place for the pupils that have been displaced here, and we will do that.
Not going to be at County Hill or anything.
County Hill. Well, we have some space at County Hill, but no, it's not going to be County Hill. But interestingly, one of the opportunities may be a part of Carisbrook, which is an interesting idea. It's early days, and we have other buildings as well. Honey Hill is one. But interestingly, it might be Carisbrook, which is quite topical.
I mean, it's a very positive message. In my initial reaction to that is transport issues, but I imagine that's all being thrown into the mix.
Well, exactly. I mean, everything has to be looked at. I'm just saying there are opportunities. It's very early days. This is a few hours into understanding what's happened here. But everything's on the table. And the reason I'm saying that is because everything's on the table, we will find a solution. We will get a building for these children.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Phil Jordan, councillor, with a specialism in fire prevention. That's his executive role there. And Justin from the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service. Just a final thought from you before we head back to Matt. Lots of people fighting very hard last night. What's your message to them?
Yeah, obviously, my thoughts are firstly with everyone affected by the loss of the centre, but certainly as Phil, and thank you Phil for your comments around the fire service. I'm extremely proud of the efforts of crews, and not only crews but everyone else that supported the fire service overnight. Residents, members of the public who came out and assisted, but also the police who were key to helping us keep the area safe, and the Isle of Wight Council's emergency management team who were beavering away in the background, just providing us with resources and the logistics. So my thanks goes to everyone in trying to support us in dealing with that incident.
And your work continues there. You're still on scene, and you're working with Hampshire Police as well. Hampshire Constabulary also working with you. That investigation to find the cause ongoing, and hopefully you'll keep us updated with what's happening there.
Yes, undoubtedly, and we'll certainly be there for today and maybe into the weekend until they feel that they're at a point whereby they can step back from the site, and there is security on site now as well.
Brilliant. OK, well, thank you ever so much for joining me in the studio today at very short notice. Councillor Phil Jordan, Executive Member for Fire Prevention and PFI at Isle of Wight Council, and Justin Harden, who's the Deputy Local Senior Officer and Group Manager for Prevention at Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service, and who I imagine has a very, very long sign on his door to fit all that in. Let's head to Matt White. Matt is at the scene in Lake. Good afternoon, Matt.
Yes, good afternoon, Lucy. I am here at Berry Hill Childcare, which is part of the current Broadley Primary School, and which overlooks the former Broadley Primary School. And during that interview you've had with Phil and the fire officer there, I've just taken a stroll down to the site just to have a look at the latest, really. And the water jets are now off, and the fire service is still very much on scene, but finally the fire is fully out. There's a very, very small bit of smouldering going on. And you can see now how the investigation to establish the cause is taking shape. There are men with high-vis jackets looking at the site, assessing the site, and there's just an eerie calmness about the place now. If you imagine what yesterday was a fully functional school, is today a huge pile of rubble. The roof has completely been gutted, parts of it have been burnt out altogether. The windows, the doors, everything is completely black. There's debris, some of it's blowing around in the wind. It's just a very, very sad sight to see, as I say, what was yesterday a fully functional school, and what today should have been the final day for those pupils before the summer holidays. And instead today, it's just a big pile of rubble. It's certainly provoked lots of emotion, lots of reaction for people that have worked there, had children there, and that will live long, certainly for the next few weeks and months, I suspect.
Matt White in Lake at the site of that devastating fire. Thank you very much indeed. Well, that has been the Friday Report. Thank you ever so much for joining us today. In particular, thank you to all our guests, both here in the studio and also those who have joined Matt White over there at the site of the former Broadley School and also the current Broadley School. And as I say, a massive thank you to everyone at current Broadley who've really helped us out today and made sure that we could get Matt broadcasting live from there. Thank you very much indeed if you're involved in that. Absolutely, really appreciate it. Now, the Friday Report will be back next Friday on Isle of Wight Radio, and we will revisit what we had hoped to talk to you about today. Among our guests next week, we'll have Hannah King from the Food Bank, and we'll also be speaking to Alan, who's among those trying to set up an emergency night shelter for homeless people on the Isle of Wight, which would function all year round. You can find details about that as we get them over the week. And of course, we'd love to hear your comments on that. So if you're involved in that at all, you want to tell us about it, maybe you've had an experience of homelessness, maybe you want to talk about using the food bank, we would love to hear from you. Lots of ways to do that, as ever. You can find us on the text, IW a space in your message, send it in to 81222. You can find us on Twitter, head to at iWhite Radio, where you will find all the details there. And also, of course, to the website as well. And if you head to the website or to Facebook today, you will find pictures and video of that devastating fire that we've been talking about on the programme today. If you've taken time to send us your pictures or to send in your video or comment or tweet today, we appreciate it very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed. The news for 2 o'clock is next. Tom Stroud is on your radio after that.
The Friday Report, getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio.
The Italian Touch, bringing style to your aisle.
Proud sponsors of Mid Mornings on Isle of Wight Radio.